Welcome to Deeper Insights, a podcast produced by Construction and Demolition Recycling Magazine that takes you deeper into the stories featured on our covers. You'll hear the voices of the leaders of demo firms, aggregate recyclers, and mixed C&D recyclers as they share their stories of growth, challenges, and successes, and hopes for the future. We'll learn about the history of the industry, its people, and the new technology that will lead it to greater heights.
My name is Bob Gagens. I'm the managing editor at Construction and Demolition Recycling Magazine. Today on Deeper Insights, we're speaking with Frank Badami, the co-owner and managing partner at Total Wrecking and Environmental in Buffalo, New York. Total Wrecking was founded in 2013, but the company's roots go much further back. After World War II, his grandfather, Anthony, immigrated to the United States and started doing construction work. Frank's grandfather and father quickly realized the demolition business is more sustainable and established themselves in that industry. Frank himself has been in the business from his teen years and has grown with the company and industry, having served on the National Demolition Association Board and in a variety of other leadership positions. Since its 2013 founding, Total Wrecking and Environmental has been involved in many projects, including power plant dismantling and demolition, which we will talk about today. So thanks for hopping on with me. Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, no, happy to do it.
Great.
What are some of the challenges specific to a power plant, a coal plant, that and it sounds like, you know, you've dealt with a lot of different types of complex projects, but what are some specifics that make, a power plant challenging?
Working from heights is something that you have to be creative and you have to be safe about. So that's challenging. And working around all the active lines and utilities, if you're working at a plant that's operational. Some challenging items are whether or not the plant owner kept the drawings and documents for their facility, because sometimes we need the documents. And when the plant gets closed, sometimes they clear them out, they throw them away, and you have no original as-built. So some of that stuff, if they have contaminants, PCBs or asbestos, and the planning that goes into it is really what gets you in a good place. So them are the biggest challenges.
So as you mentioned, the planning is a huge part of dealing with these coal plants, you know, when you're taking them down. How do you go about kind of establishing the relationships with the plant managers, the teams at the plants that you're working with? And, I was kind of wondering what a demo firm's game plan should be when they're looking at, that first initial kind of planning meeting with the plant manager or the team that's going to be working with you.
Yeah, I think the first thing is we before we go anywhere, we want to know that they have plans and specifications. Again, before we go there, we want to know, did you do an asbestos survey? Did you do a survey for any hazards? Once we understand that piece, then we could look at the easy part. The easy part is taking it down for us because we know that well. But we want to understand all of the hazards completely. And in some cases, the plant might not have that information yet. So we like to help them understand what they need to help us. And if we could... So really the first part for us sometimes is education. And other places where they have an engineer who understands what we need, they usually put all these things in place. But education is the first part. And educating them without, letting them know that they haven't given us everything we really need. So we want to do that in a good way. Mm-hmm. Once we get that information, then we like to go out to our site with our estimators and have our initial walkthrough. On large plants, we could go back as many as two or three times. In the case of Jacksonville, I think that plant we visited six times before we wound up getting our numbers together on it. So,
how do you, when you talked about, the identifying the hazards and, the PCBs and things like that, I mean, how do you know that you know everything? I mean, I guess that's hard to do. But and there's spills that can happen decades ago that you need to know about and things like that. How do you really try to wheedle all that information out of a plant manager or someone with some history there, I guess?
So that's a great question. Most people want to teach, right? And the important thing is to take what they gave you, look for what you would kind of do a phase one, but not really. So if you've got a set of transformers, you know, you'll have PCB oils or that kind of thing. And sometimes you get some copper wire that has PCB oil on them. And so you'll look at some of them things, but you'll also talk to the plant manager. And if they don't have a complete document, say, hey, think back, you know, did Jed dump some of the transformer oil off the loading dock from here? Because I know you changed that oil. It's not really a phase one, but you'll see that somebody, if you know what a phase one investigation is, it's really, hey, what's around us? What could they have done to cause a problem environmentally on site? And somebody would do that study for you. And in the case of a plant, most plant managers and owners, through the years, what they've done, and most of them really kept good records, quite honestly. And if they did, they got to go back into their records. They got to search that and try and come up with that plan, because it will bite them in the pocket later, right? Especially if something gets commingled, because we didn't know that it was there originally. And so we preach pre-planning to them hugely, because it's important that they know every bit of hazard that they have on the site. So that's the biggest part, I'd say, so that we could give the owner the best bang for their buck and keep them free of liability.
Gotcha. So, you know, what kind of expectations? I mean, obviously, I imagine there's some power companies that have gone through this before. If they're a First Energy or something like that, they've probably been through it, or they're educating their supervisors. This is what you expect. But with smaller operations, I mean, what are some of the expectations that the plant managers have coming in that are maybe misnomers, I guess, in terms of what the process they're about to enter entails?
Well, that was talking about. That's the first piece. And once we could get them to get that piece done, and then we talk about, you know, begin with the end in mind. What are you looking for at the end? We've taken plants down where we've left slabs in place, and we've taken them down. They want all the concrete out completely. Well, you know, your power block could be 8-12 feet thick and concrete with composite rebar throughout. It's going to cost you a lot of money. And do you need that power block out? So we talk about that because, you know, obviously the owner wants to clean their site up. They're thinking about dollars, but they need to know what their end is. Most companies have an end in mind already, and they've got that spec written. Once we get to, like you said, our First Energy, we usually follow their specs. We'll ask questions, and we'll walk the site. In the terms of what you were saying about a smaller power plant, we'll almost try and manage that all the way through. And so we'll check things out. Are your tanks empty? Did you, clean them? Have you cleaned the coal ash? Have you cleaned the coal off the conveyors? A lot of different things that we know need to be done, and a lot of things that plant managers could do as they're shutting down is they could use the folks that they have on site as they're shutting it down. And they've all got small asbestos companies that have taken some pipe wrap off, and you could use them resources so that when we start to get to that point, we could be expedient about what we're doing.
And I would imagine if their own guys are able to do some of those types of things, then they know that they need to be done. It's a savings for them in the end, I would imagine, too.
It is, and they're keeping their folks working a little longer rather than laying them off. You know, they got to bring a vac truck in to vac out the tank that had the sludge from the, you know, whatever the heck, right? So that has worked out, and we kind of preach that. And there's a lot of layers of that onion, but if you could give them three or four of the outside layers, take care of before they shut the plant down, that makes their job easier and less expensive.
Yeah, that makes sense. Once you have your own teams on site and you're actually starting the process, how does that part of the communication work? I mean, on the day-to-day, I mean, once you're passed through the planning and discovering all the hazards on site and stuff, what does the communication look like once it's, you know, between their teams and your teams?
We walk the site with all our four, and superintendents, project manager, estimator, so that we can start planning everything. We bring our foreman in because they're the guys in the air, they're the guys in the basements on a regular basis. They know everything they're doing. And so they'll bring up some good points, so we include them in our planning. Once we do this walk down, it could take a day, it could take a week. Everybody keeps their own notes. They start to write things, and then that goes back to the field, and they say, "No, that's not what I wanted." And heads back, and they talk about it a little more on Zoom meetings and photos and what have you. And then we develop a plan, and then we bring that back to the owner, and we say, "This is our plan." And they say, "Well, geez, you're crazy. Don't you remember we have this?" And we say, "No, it's not in the bid. Not part of the bid, but we'll figure out how to do that for you. And then we'll implement this thing that might be missing if there is. Or we've planned for everything and the owner says, great. And they tell us it's good to go. And then we start to implement. And maybe we have four or five teams. And then we get back into that daily, weekly briefing. And then we have a meeting with all our teams every week. So every company superintendent is on that meeting, and so we could all talk about all our jobs together. Because hey, Bob might know something that Pete doesn't, right? And if he's got a problem, he can help him out.
Yeah, all about taking lessons from other people again. Yeah, yeah. So when you guys are on site, what do the power plant managers and crew have a role in the process once you guys are on site and working? I guess I'm especially curious in cases where, you know, you're taking down part of a facility, but, you know, they're still operational in another area.
So that's when we got that. We've got the Lakeland job where we just shot, as you know, the one structure. And that one is everything around that building that we shot has active everything, right? So yes, the plant managers absolutely take a direct role. And specifically in Lakeland, you know, we requested a liaison and they were prepared for that, which was good. And so we have one guy that our superintendent is handcuffed to, on a regular basis. You know, I think they know each other's children's name now. And, you know, I mean, they just, they know everything about each other, but they have a direct line to each other on a regular basis because there's active things going on all around the plant. And so, yes, it's very important. We have access to their electrical engineers, their plumbing engineers. We're working closely with them. So we're directing them on certain things. They're directing us. So it's a marriage. It's a very tight relationship. Yeah. And if you don't have that relationship, it makes for a pretty dangerous situation.
Yeah, I'm imagining you're talking about, you know, in a case of a plant where part of it's still operational, you know, you might tell them you need to stay clear of this, and they might say, well, actually, no, we need this line open still. So you got to stay away from this so we can keep generating power here. I would guess those types of conversations are probably going on all the time between the supervisors on both sides, I suppose.
They are, but there's always them small nuances, right? So they need to be communicating on a regular basis, daily. I call each and every one of them on a weekly basis. But I just like to check in, right? It's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Key to success and the absolute detriment to failure.
Yeah, so I imagine like establishing the trust between the two supervisors is really important too. You know, that they have the soft skills, I guess, to be able to develop a good working relationship over, you know, sometimes a number of years.
It is. It's a difficult task. I ask all the folks that work for me to read a book for me, and they can read the first three chapters. There's a book called The Speed of Trust, and trust is quick, right? If you're trusting of each other, then things happen fast. If you're not, we second guess everybody. And so it's important to do what you say and be committed to what your work is.
Another thing I was curious about, and this is really kind of getting back to a more technical part of this, I was curious what you know, what's involved in decommissioning a plant, as you know, before you get to the point where you're actually tearing it apart?
So this is the hands-on activities right after plans are built. And what goes into that is really the first thing we're looking at is universal waste, which is bulbs and ballasts, right? So light bulbs and PCB ballasts, possibly. You've got to drain all the carcasses of any gearboxes. If you've got any pipelines that have oils in them, or maybe glycol, that all has to be drained out and captured so that you can either send it for recycle or disposal. You would have to drain any PCB transformers out and get them cleaned up, tested up, or sent off to a landfill. You could take the asbestos removal, get that taken care of, so that's all part of it.
Kind of relating to that question, how do you work with the plant managers to kind of establish what their expectations are for recycling? And the other question I noticed on your website, you guys recycle, was it 90, 95, 97% of what you get from plants? So I was curious how you work with the plant operators on that, and you know, if they're kind of surprised by to learn how much you can really get out of the site.
Yeah, I mean, I think that plant owners and managers have now, they've come to understand the value in scrap metals, right? So that's important to them. I don't believe, and I can't speak for all of them, but I don't believe the plant managers understand the value of assets and parts. Some feel that they're worth way more. Some feel that they're worth way less, or that they might need to be scrapped. So in some cases, there are assets inside facility, let's just say an electric motor, or it's an electric motor, it's a universal piece of equipment, and you could resell that for more than you could sell as scrap. On the flip side, they may have a parts building that they spent $23 million on parts, but the parts only go to their plant. And so, you know, the asset control manager's like, I got $23 million of parts there. Well, we got three motors we can save for you, pennies on the dollar.
You know, you mentioned rebar earlier. Is there kind of a law of diminishing returns where, I mean, the rebar in and of itself is valuable, obviously, but if it's encased in 20 tons of concrete or something, is there a point where you say, well, maybe it's not economically worth trying to recover?
No, because we do recycle every bit of concrete, and we take the rebar out. And 86 maybe, I think we were paying to get rid of rebar at the scrap yards and scrap mills. But today we're able to prepare it and sell it. So we have a special couple of tools that prepare our rebar pretty quick. That's worked out pretty well. But no, we recycle every bit of concrete on our site.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
What are some of the potential pitfalls that demo firms can fall into when they're working with power plant operators during sort of the planning process and the demo process? And you know, how do you avoid those?
So I would say that either taking a project on without a clear spec that says you're responsible for everything and not understanding what you're really responsible for. We've seen some folks that have bought plants and wanted the demo contractors to be responsible for all and any asbestos. We really don't have a survey. That's a challenge. It's probably not a good idea. That could be very valuable. Two, the government put a law into effect, OSHA did, and which I appreciate. And the law says that an owner must quantify and locate types of asbestos throughout your facility prior to demolition. Must. So the reason for that promulgation, I believe, and I didn't actually see how they promulgate it, but I believe that the owners were saying, hey, this is all yours. And then it got the demo company in trouble because it made them move away from their integrity because it was about self-survival at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to understand that because you could have asbestos in anything. You could find it in concrete. And if you get in a position where you don't know where it is, it might push somebody in that direction. And so I would tell anybody that is bidding any demo work to make sure that you have a complete, concise survey on the hazards on that site. That is the most absolute important piece of this. You know, we talk about the demo and how exciting it is and the implosion and all the good stuff, right? And the scrap going to the mills. But think about what you're up against before. Where are the hazards? Make sure they locate them and identify them.
Yeah.
That's
it all
number
goes back
one.
To establishing that trust relationship with the plant manager, I guess, that they're going to share as much as they know with you, I suppose.
It does. And if they don't, it gets them in trouble also. And I think that some of the larger plants understand that, and they do a great job at it. And they know that the upfront planning is the most important. It's the most important piece. If they don't get that planning done, they shoot themselves in the foot.
And well, thank you so much, Frank, for taking the time out today to chat with me. I know you've got an appointment coming up, so I'm going to let you go. But I've learned a lot. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bob.